with the 21st pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Chop Robinson, linebacker, Penn State.
We're going to Miami!
They kept it simple.
This is a need, as Charles referenced, and this is a fastball off the edge in Chop Robinson. We saw it at the combine, how fast he was. He ran 4.48 at 254 pounds. We always talk about these Penn State guys. They're all explosive athletes. We see it every year in Indianapolis.
There's James Franklin in there.
And there he is.
All right, there you heard it. Chop Robinson, 6'3", 254-pounder out of Penn State. Fourth edge rusher taken last night, and he's going to Miami. Did you hear that? You got to love that, man. Young guy going, I'm going to Miami. Yes, I am. And by the way, man, I was thinking about it last night, and, you know, this whole thing about rookies playing right away and the way the teams are structured, and you got a lot of guys making a lot of money, so you really need, like, draft picks and free agents on the cheap, you know, become obviously more important in depth to a team. But Chop Robinson's going to play. Like, some people are kind of writing, like, he's going to be a bit of a project. No, well, he can be a project. His ass can be on the field as a project. Like, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are injured right now. And I know they're both working really hard to get back to 100% as quickly as possible. But the team is going to make sure they are ready to go. They're not going to go, all right, you're good today. They're going to take it step by step, even from practicing for a while before they put you out there. And then there's the – we've seen it with the Achilles, and we've seen it with the knee injuries, ACL, that sometimes it takes a while to get back to where you were. We've seen Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips when they're 100%, and they were – they were there, man, before they got hurt. I mean, they were – you were going, holy crap, those are going to be both double-digit guys. Bradley Chubb did, of course, get to double-digit in sacks, and Jalen Phillips was really coming on strong. So I don't know how long before they get back, but they're not just going to throw those guys back in there and go, you got the whole game today, go get them. No, man, they got four guys. They got four guys. And late in the year, especially if Chop Robinson is playing well, he's going to be in the rotation. And not only rotation, but good defensive coordinators, and this guy's good, is and going to be good. He's going to find a way to get three of those guys out. There's going to be certain packages where he can play all three of those guys. And that doesn't mean they're all blitzing at the same time. And you can fake blitz and pull guys out into coverage and a lot of things. But I saw Chop Robinson. I go, fourth pass rusher taken. He's playing. He's playing on a team that's got their top two guys injured and coming back from serious injury. Like, he's playing. They didn't just do that. That wasn't by – Chop Robinson came into play right away. I know we've had this discussion about, you know, our top picks watching a lot of football on the side. He's going to play. And I know he's not a finished product. If you haven't heard Chris Greer talk about him, he said he's got, you know, major upside. He's a young guy, and we haven't seen the best. But and by the way, when Chris is talking about that, he doesn't have a lot of sacks in his career at Penn State. But he's got, listen, you're 250 pounds, and you run 4.48, and his quickness off the football, if you've seen the highlights, he gets, you know, he's got to get more moves and he, you know, work on some things, work on his hands. But here's what Chris Curry had to say about him.
Chop was someone that we identified and thought he might be there. And, you know, if he wasn't, there were other players we liked there as well. So, but he was our targeted player. So for us, I guess, you know, we're very excited to have him. It's testing numbers are elite, you know, and you see all the tools, the things he can do. But, you know, is he a finished product? No. And I think he'd probably admit that to you as well. And not many players come into the league are. So we think he has, obviously, the get off and speed that everyone talks about is kind of rare. His athletic tools. So I think, again, for us, he still has a runway to keep improving. But the fact that the guy works hard and has a tremendous motor and toughness to him, which gives us really excitement to think that he'll reach his peak of ability that we think he can hit.
There you go. So, and Woody and I were just talking about last couple guys we've taken. Not last couple of guys, because Jalen Phillips is in there in the draft, but Charles Harrison, Deion Jordan, who going back, and today's not a day to go back into history, but so the big thing for me with those guys, the only reason I bring it up, that this guy passed all the tests on, is mental toughness, wanting to be great, wanting to work, and if things don't go well, sometimes guys get in a funk, which is normal. Like, you go to run a route and you're getting jammed all over the field, you start to lose confidence. Guy throws the ball too hard and you're a receiver and you're dropping a lot of balls because you've never had a guy throw that hard, you start to lose confidence. And as you lose confidence, you know, little demons pop in there, get you in a funk, get you a little down, whether you want to call it depression, and those type of things. And that's kind of what happened to Charles Harrison and Deion Jordan, to the point that you're coming off the ball and you're waiting to get blocked again, or sometimes not even play. So this guy's got, I know everybody's talked about Chop Robinson, and they have done their homework, and we'll see. I know he's going to get better. All these guys can get better. They're going to learn a lot more. They're going to be around a bunch of guys that have done it at a really high level. Those guys will work with them. I don't know much about Shaq Barrett, but I know Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips will work with Chop Robinson every day. If he asks questions, they're going to work. It won't just be coaches helping them, you know, with moves and new moves. You can't just do that upfield speed rush, you know, to the outside and learn things, because these guys are going to be holding a lot more than you're used to, even in college. But whatever he has, those guys will get it out of him. I do believe that. As long as those guys are mentally tough, because you're going to go through some rough times, man. You're not playing a Big Ten now. You're playing in the NFL, where a lot of good.
How close were you to making a trade?
We were active on the phones, I'll just say that. So I don't know how close we got, but we were active probably through the back end of the draft.
Board fall that you guys had set up to what actually happened in round one?
That was pretty close. We were sitting there, yeah. So there were a couple players at the end we were excited for, and so we were active, even trying to get back in to get another one here in the late first.
All right, that was Chris Greer, general manager of the Miami Dolphins, talking after the pick last night. I got to tell you, I don't know for you, and they're great games going. Panthers, really impressive in Tampa Bay, getting their third win, going up 3-0 on the road last night. The basketball game's been great. But I'm always amazed, as a guy that played a long, long time ago in the NFL, that where it was and where it is right now, where 200 to 275,000 people show up at a draft party in Detroit. I mean, you're talking about things you never expect to happen. I don't know how big the crowd. I mean, the crowds are big every year, so I'm not. But last night, I saw this, and then they panned it, and it kept going and going. It was deeper and wider and deeper and wider, and you're like, holy crap. So, you know, what they've done, and I'm the only complaint I had, they waited way too long, that Caleb Williams pick. Like, they knew they were taking him. It was like the NFL said, hey, Bears, give us 10 minutes before we take him. I was watching Caleb Williams. He knew he was going right off the bat. That looked like a dude that had already been told like 6 months ago, you're our guy.
Well, he was out there working out with those guys, apparently. So that was like a lock there, Joe. But that thing took so long last night. I mean, what was it, 11-something before the Dolphins had even picked?
I got to tell you, it's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. By the way, Joe, Adam Schefter, there are 275,000-plus fans in attendance tonight, breaking the all-time day one draft record set in 2018, and that was in Nashville. 200,000 were at that one.
Yeah.
So they might have had close to 300,000 people at that thing last night. That is pretty insane.
That is, did you ever think we, like, so I know I was watching and my wife watched for the first time in the history of this marriage that we watched the draft together. And she's reading a book and stuff. I said, look at that effing, I think I said, just look at that effing crowd. And she looked and she goes.
Did she say, I don't care and stop using that language?
Well, that's always an issue with me, as you know, the F-bombs. But
I'm just like, I'm trying to peg her response there.
So anyway, she says, did they all fly in town? I go, a lot of them. I mean, there are a lot of Lions fans there. But, yeah, there's a lot of people that show up to just be part of this draft, even though, as you can see, not everybody has a great seat or standing place to watch this thing. It's incredible.
I don't
what
get
it's
it,
become.
Man. I don't get standing out there like that. I know that these are cities that'll never get a Super Bowl.
Woody, watch these numbers coming out. We won't have them today or late. I guess until later today.
Oh, the viewing numbers, the ratings. Oh. Yeah.
I was. But once
I
got
am intrigued,
rolling,
though, Joe. I am intrigued to see where this one stacks up with the others, because I will say there was some good other sports on last night.
Oh, no, listen.
It
that,
was a full play
Philly,
last night. That Knicks-Philly game,
that Philly
that is
Knicks
a
game
very
was
entertaining series.
Unbelievable how good that is. I totally agree with you. I had no shot to watch Lakers and Denver, which I would have.
Yeah,
Denver's
Lakers
up now
3-0 again, huh?
In that one. So that thing, they're going to be talking about the future there, including that coach and how long. A lot of great stories, but, Woody, I got to tell you, man, and unless you just think it's me, last night belonged to the draft. And I wanted to see what was going to happen, obviously, at 21, to see if they were going to stick with the pick and everything. But those picks started coming in pretty fast, Woody. They got rolling, like, pick in, you know, and they put it up on the board, and, you know, and here comes the commissioner again. But it is fun to watch, because you know all those guys. You look at all those names: USC, LSU, North Carolina, Ohio State, Notre Dame, LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Washington. You go, oh, I've seen a bunch of these guys play. A lot of them play, you know, you see them all on TV. You've seen them. We've talked about them. It's pretty crazy stuff what we have. Hey, Woody, what do we have coming in this morning?
Well, we got a lot of stuff coming in, Joe. Thank you to all of our texters here early this morning. And all right, here we go, Joe. Maybe this guy says, hey, maybe you can sort this out. Why couldn't Greer just take the best center in the draft, kid Graham Barton from Duke,
right,
so we can end improvising with one with others at center? If Greer is going to do this, why not just structure Van Ginkle, who's the real thing?
Well, there's all kinds of part. Look, no matter who they took, I've had the crush on Graham Barton myself, and he's now with Tampa Bay. He's going to be their starting. I guess now, by the way, before the draft is really interesting. Like, they now have him officially as, like, the number one center, and that started – Baldy had that a few days
Baldy
ago.
Baldy
like
said he was going to be a pro bowler.
He was
Baldy
be a pro
also
bowl
said
center.
That the Falcons were going to take a quarterback.
Yeah.
Baldy put out a bizarre video, Joe, so I don't – he's at some resort somewhere – and he films himself in his pool, you know, at the pool of the resort, and says, like, he thinks the Falcons are going to take a quarterback. So, like, yesterday.
Wow. So he is he's good, man. No. Baldy is really good. But so I didn't even know they had already made up their mind, because he's played tackle, guard, and center. And I thought he'd be a first-round pick, but I didn't know what they're going to officially label him as. And Tampa Bay said, yeah, he's a center. So I liked him, too. And Baldy has said they need to – this thing, that offensive line starts. Connor was so good last year at center when he was playing that they need to – that's got to be the key piece, he thinks, is the center position. So, you know, I understand, but I got no problem with adding Chop Robinson. I know there's going to be second-guessing. I do. And people – I'm surprised we haven't had somebody throwing out how are we taking a guy that high that's only got this amount of sacks and stuff. But we needed an edge rusher. Like, we just did, folks. Like, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are injured, coming back from injury, and all
you
have is
Shaq
Barrett.
You don't
have
to defend the pick this morning, Joe. You don't have to defend it. Like, here's the other thing. Everyone's got an opinion on, and that's great. But nobody really knows if the guy can play or not.
That's true. Neither way.
So, I do think you do have to wait a little bit to play the result here. And at 6:09, wants to know, Joe, did you just replay the show and comments that you had about Charles Harris 10 years ago? I'm sure you said the same exact thing then. But again, about you don't know. You don't know if a guy.
I agree. No.
So you have to trust what Greer said. And here's the other follow up to that, Joe. 305 says, why are we drafting a player that needs a lot of work and we're trying to win now? And I think Greer kind of like caught himself when he was saying that and said, well, you know, every player in the, you know, most players.
Listen. Well, first of all, you can look up his numbers. So I'm guessing Chris knew that first thing everybody's going to look at, because the same thing they do when they negotiate contracts is everything's about the sack, right? And so, yeah, the sacks weren't where they need to be, and that's why I think he started on this thing about his upside and all the things he can do and stuff. But, yeah, listen, we have had – they weren't Chris's guys, although Chris was on the staff. But we had some bad whiffs in the past during this long drought of playoff losses that we've had and not winning a playoff game. We had a couple of guys in. I brought them up. I didn't hide from it. Charles Harris and Deion Jordan, 22nd pick and a third pick, where we moved up and gave the Raiders a second-round pick to move up just to get the first defensive player, and it was a complete whiff.
All right, 954 says you need to protect your franchise QB. Barton was right there. Trade down and take Worthy. Another terrible pick by Chris Greer. Greer's got to go. 513 says Chop Robinson, 11 sacks in 3 years. Career high five in 2023. Typical Dolphins pick.
No, and they're going to have to put up with that. And then Chris didn't help the situation, but I think he was probably figuring out that everybody was going to look like, hey, we thought sacks are everything on the outside, and this guy doesn't have a lot of them, you know. Listen, he put it out there. They needed a guy. I guess the drop-off here there was actually a guy that went behind him, too, that was a pass rusher. I guess people were a little surprised by last night. I get that, and I was – saying yesterday, my favorite player, Woody, we were talking at the end of the show that I would have loved to have had the center for Tampa Bay now.
Yeah, Graham Barton. A lot of
Graham
people.
Graham Barton would have been a
You want some more of these, Joe? A lot of people are weighing in this morning, and we do appreciate that. Even Rick and Davey has surfaced here, Joe. He says he's supportive. He's tried to be supportive, but enough is enough. Chris Greer must go. 954, Greer must go ASAP. Another 954 says, I've had Deion Jordan and Charles Harris vibes all night. Come on, man. One thing has nothing to do with the other, right? Like, that's unfair.
Well,
we just have been beaten up by the Dolphins, so like that's right where you go.
You're right. And
but it has
so
nothing
here's the
to
problem.
Do with Deion Jordan or Charles Harris.
Here's a problem for everybody in the organization, fair or not. Fair or not. And poor Mike's putting up with it now, too. Mike McDaniel, who I think is a really good coach, and I don't want him to go anywhere. So the lack of success for more than two decades overall, and success is being in the playoffs a lot and winning playoff games. That's success. It really is. Not winning record. Success is winning. And so these guys are paying, because everybody thinks, like, all of a sudden Chris Greer's been the general manager for 20-something years, and he hasn't. Now, he's been here the whole time. He's been in on the meetings. I don't know how he stood on guys we've taken. And Jeff Ireland had some brutal, brutal misses in the draft. There's like
I hate going back in the past like this, though, Joe.
Because this is what people do.
I agree with them.
I agree.
This is not Deion Jordan. This is not Charles Harris. Well, here's a guy at a positive one here, Joe. I just hope Chop from the 786. I just hope Chop is a Hall of Fame edge rookie, rookie of the year, and 15 sacks, AFC champs. There you go.
Yeah. And by the way, yeah, just I agree. But I figured when we had this pick, because I said it, that, oh, they're going to look at his sack numbers, and everybody's going to go, ooh, what are we taking a guy that doesn't have a lot of sacks? And now all of a sudden, he didn't have a lot of sacks in college. Why do we think he's going to have a lot of sacks in the NFL? It doesn't get any easier. He's going to be playing against a lot better players in the NFL than he did in the Big Ten.
Are you ready for some more here, Joe?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff coming in. They didn't sign Wilkins 2 years ago because of low sack numbers, and they draft a first-round low sack guy. That's somewhat fair. Chop doesn't do well against the Ohio States and Michigan. He shows up against a smaller school. Someone did send that in earlier that they had two of those five sacks against UMass.
I did. Listen, God bless you for doing the homework on
they
that.
They did that's, do the homework. They broke it
that's
down.
That's impressive, yeah.
What scares me with Chop Robinson is this Deion Jordan 2.0. Had great measurables, had a great combine, but he didn't put up the stats. Four sacks this last year and two of them against UMass. Yeah.
I knew this wasn't going to be a PR home run. I understand taking that position, though. No matter where he was, was he the best player left? I don't know. That's going to be Chris's take. But listen, I said this to start the show this morning. You expect any one of the 32 teams or the teams that had a first-round pick to stand up there and talk to their local media last night after their pick and said, that was the guy. That was our guy the whole time. We're surprised he dropped to us. I'm sure there were some higher grades at wide receiver. I'm sure there was some higher grades at some other positions. And they said, we better grab one because we need another guy. There's no free agent guys out there that can rush the quarterback. We need to get one. And we'll see how it goes. But with that, when somebody doesn't put up big numbers, and by the way, they know they don't give contracts. The ironic part of this whole thing is this. I go back. It's funny you mentioned Christian Wilkins. So I thought about this one. So Christian Wilkins was told 2 years ago, like, hey, you know, you don't have a lot of sacks. We can't pay you what some of these other guys are making because you had 3.5 sacks. Remember that? And so he goes, yeah, but I made 100 tackles and I tackles for loss. I led all the defense. And he goes, yeah, but it's about sacks. So now you draft a guy, and I was thinking, oh, boy, here we go again. So now he doesn't have a lot of sacks, and you give the guy a big contract. So hopefully he develops and becomes a really good player because you're going to need him.
The one thing that scares me is the comparisons to Micah Parsons. Right? Well, I mean, Micah Parsons is a very special type of player.
Yes, and freakish.
I mean, I hope this guy ends up being anywhere in that
so
ballpark.
So physically,
but, you know,
physically, you know. This guy, I mean, you know, he talked about his testing and stuff, and I think we have learned we need football players, not, you know, testing giants. We need guys that can really play at a high level on the field. I agree. I'm not disagreeing. And by the way, we'll find out on this pick because – he's going to play right away. he's going to play because not only you just drafted him, we've all made this clear. Like those guys, whether they're young and they've got to learn, of course everybody's got to learn to go to college to pro and get used to the game. But he's still going to play a lot of football this year. By the way, can you imagine drafting that guy 21st in the first round? At a position where two guys are injured and he doesn't play a lot, there's no way. He's playing. He signs that contract and they go, Chop, right out there. Go to your coach. Line up with the ones in camp. That's where it's going to be.
Hey, look, worst case scenario, he does have a cool name.
Got a great name,
so
Chop.
Like, you know, even if he isn't good, like.
Chop, let's do it, Chop. Hey, we got to go to break.
Can
Keep
I get
it
you a couple
in.
More, Joe? Let me get you a couple more before we get to the headlines.
Why is it I always say go to break and you tell me something when I'm, like, already over?
That's okay. 954 says...
You get a new contract and you become an animal.
He
go
says,
ahead.
Says to me, be careful, Joe's turning on his Finn's apologizer button right now. Just call him the apologizer bunny. 561 says, don't get me wrong. I hope Chop proves us all wrong. Another guy says Manny Diaz said it was a great pick. He wouldn't lie to us, would he, about his own player?
Hey, can't
that is true. That. He did play with Manny Diaz. Joe, hey, nobody knows. That's the thing, man. I love that everyone has an opinion on this. I think it's great, and I think the draft is the best.
This goes back to Chris Greer.
But nobody knows,
and this
man.
Goes back to the history of the Dolphins in the last two decades.
He could be Micah Parsons. He could be, you know, Deion Jordan, or he could be somewhere in between. Right.
We'll see.
I get people don't like the position. I think that's the big thing, is that I don't think people like the position. I also, like, a bunch of people are saying you take the best player available and not the fourth, the fifth best player at his position.
So I think I just take it a step further. So I don't think he was the best player left on the board of all the different guys. No. There's wide receivers and stuff. I would agree if somebody said that just off the top, and they do it for a living. But I will tell you the thing that's going to hurt him is, and it's fair. Like, usually you're going to take a guy in the first round, you want to see some friggin' numbers. And he doesn't have a lot of sacks. He just doesn't. I mean, you can look it up. Penn State career of Chop Robinson. He runs fast. He's strong. He blows things up. He can.
Well, everyone's good on college tape, Joe. We know that. Come on.
No. But he doesn't have a lot of sacks in his career.
You don't have to sell us this morning, man. It's one of those things where time will tell. I know you're trying to sell tickets and all that, but it's okay.
No, I just said he hasn't put up stats. I don't know what you're talking about there before you start trying to stir it up here that I'm protecting Chris Greer this morning. Hey, we got to take a second. I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealer before we get back. By the way, nice. Bring them in, 305-567-0560. We want to take a second, though, to tell you about our South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. We want to let you know if you're starting to look around, the lease is up, you've got something you just don't enjoy driving anymore. I want to tell you about the SUV family, Suburbans, and, of course, they call me Joe Tahoe, besides being an apologist. And I want to let you know, when it comes to Joe Tahoe, oh, man, I've been in Tahoe for like 16 years now. Man, I do love driving. I do love telling everybody I am Joe Tahoe. And I'll let you know, it's Suburbans and Tahoes. The new ones have added more space, got a brand new look to them. The midsize SUV, we're coming out with a new Traverse here pretty soon. It is going to be sweet. The Trailblazer, the Equinox Blazer. Man, smaller SUVs with plenty of style and substance, right over to Silverado Trucks, man. We got some great looking trucks. And more importantly, we got a truck to fit your lifestyle perfectly. Full-time working truck, you in that truck, five, six, 7 days a week? We got it. We got a truck that can work with you every day. And family trucks, combo trucks, we got them all new and used, low mileage, perfect for you. And we've got convenient locations all over South Florida. So, hey, they're going to tell you this, and it's a fact. Cars, trucks, and SUVs have never looked better than the products they have right now, with convenient locations all over Dade, Broward, even Monroe County. Find new roads this weekend and fall in love at your South Florida Chevy dealer.
All right, time for your weather, brought to you by the Demesman Andover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 75 degrees at the moment. Chance of rain is just 1%. Joe, we'll go back to you, sir.
Well, Woody, it's nice out here. I just want to let you know, in California, on my way back home here soon. And well, I'll tell you what, I enjoyed last night. I did. And to all Dolphin fans, and Woody tells me it's mostly been negative about Chop Robinson.
Yes, it has.
And his 11.5 sacks in 3 years.
Not even him, it's Greer. It's not, like, I don't think people are attacking the player necessarily.
No, they're attacking who we took. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, as Omar always says, Chris Greer's not going anywhere. That's not going to happen. I know good relationships when I see him. And Chris has a great relationship with ownership. So, and Chris Greer obviously needs, like the head coach, that we need to get some more wins in the playoffs. But we need this guy, man. This guy needs to come in, and while he's developing and getting better, he needs to make some plays. Chop Robinson.
He's got a cool name, bro. That'll sell jerseys at the
very
least.
Oh, no, that fourth edge rusher taken in this draft. He actually had a guy go behind him, which I had did not follow it enough to know who he was. But we had a late run. And I know people, because somebody asked me, hey, you think, like, Chris's guys that he really liked, how many guys did he really like that went a few picks in front of him? I said, you're never going to know. Well, how do you know? Because we never hear. You ever hear anybody come out? Have you ever heard anybody in their when they talk after the first round of the draft, every city, the general manager stands up with the head coach and they go, hey, we have four guys we loved and we thought we had a chance to get, and all four guys were gone. They went to four picks in front of us.
I mean,
so we had to go to plan B. Huh?
It would be kind of funny if someone did, because that's like the fantasy football scenario. Like, you have your guy circled, you're ready to walk up to the draft board, and like the jerk before you, you know,
takes him.
Yeah.
Well, you're never going to hear that, and you're never going to hear like the draft's over and they have the final draft. And
well, you don't you think know, Greer got caught off guard?
No.
Okay.
I think he had a pretty really good idea. Weird. Now, like he said, he was asked a question, did this thing go the way you thought it would? And he said, yeah, it's pretty close. I think they know the needs of every other team.
Joe, here's the thing. This pick better be good because you had six quarterbacks. You picked at 21. You had six quarterbacks go ahead of you.
You had a lot of offensive players go early.
And receivers. So between quarterbacks and receivers, you basically had a top 10 pick.
So
right? Here, I mean, you did outside of those two positions, which I guess the Dolphins weren't looking at, you had a top 10 pick, essentially. So this guy better be able to play.
Yeah, so everybody has said that Graham Barton is, you know, he's played everything at Duke, but they have decided, and by the way, it's obvious, and I give Baldy a lot of credit. Baldy goes, now his best position is center, and he's got a chance to be an all-pro center, like be really good. And Tampa takes him a couple of picks after us. So, and that was a guy I like, but so I'm guessing a lot of people were watching this and go, hey, we need an offensive lineman and grab one that's had some success that looks the part, and they didn't do it. I expect, by the way, today they will hit this offensive line or safety position, don't you, Woody? Would you say those? I don't think it'll be a defensive
Joe, I don't
tackle.
Know. I don't want to pretend to know what's going on in Chris Greer's head at this moment, but I can get you some more reaction if you're interested. 954 says he's surprised Greer didn't panic and take the ninth best cornerback available.
Oh, that was
good. 305 says with that speed, you make him a 3-5 linebacker and he'll create havoc. Don't forget, we brought in a D coordinator from Baltimore. I trust his pick.
Well, I'm just reading a scouting report on him that all the things he can do. But saying that, he needs to be able to get to the quarterback. Yeah, there's one stat that really matters.
We know.
It's sacks. The money between 3.5 sacks and 4 sacks and 10-plus sacks, 10-plus sack guys, the double-digit sack guys every year, usually when you get 10 sacks, you have a lot of pressures, right? You got a lot of those. Those are guys that get paid the big bucks. So he needs – I agree with everybody. He needs to be able to get to the quarterback. I see he can cover, and I know he runs super fast, and he's got a great first step. But we've had a lot of guys have the really – big first step and quick and all that, but he needs to develop and quickly because he's going to play a lot right away. He's got to get some pressures, and sacks.
How about one more here, Joe, before we head off to talk to Ross Tucker, guy checking in from Charleston. I just visited Charleston. Very nice place, by the way. He said, I'm skeptical of the pick, but if McDaniel is willing to pass up on an offensive player for Chop, there has to be more than just the numbers. At the end of the day, still a position of need. Still plenty of solid players on the board today.
Yeah, there by the go. Way, I do agree with that. There's a lot of guys like, you know, it's funny. We're talking about Jackson Powers, the center. I thought he was the number one center because a lot of people thought he was. He didn't get drafted. He's a second-round guy, so there are going to be a lot of guys like that, and there's still a lot of really good football players, so we'll see what they have at 55 today. And we do have Ross Tucker. We'll
Joe,
ask
real
Ross
quick,
Tucker.
Some guy said, Joe, if you replay the Chris Greer interview, you can hear in his voice that he's unsure of the pick. How's that for analyzing?
Well, he did say, you know, he's got –
come on.
He did kind of set himself up a little bit with that. There, play. Can you play it again one more time?
No, we can't because we have to get to Ross, but we can in the 8 o'clock hour.
All right, we'll do that. All right, stay with us. We got to go to break here real quickly. Ross Tucker will join us. We'll ask him. We'll ask him about the Miami Dolphins' first pick and all the things that everybody's concerned with today. I want to tell you about Chev, our CEO, my man at Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing, doing it all. He had a message. He sent me a message last night. He goes, Chev, I haven't heard from you for a long time. He says, hey, Joe, I know you're real busy. I know you got the draft stuff going on, but, hey, hurricane season's right around the corner. It's supposed to be a real active year out there with these storms out there, and you never know when you're going to get hit with the big one, But I want to let everybody know I got some specials I'm running. We are big. I've got great people working for me. Like, listen to this. Impact Windows and Roofing, 100% financing, zero down. All right, I like that. Impact Windows and Roofing, no interest, no payments for a year. Will that help you out? Impact Windows is low as $6 per month per window installed. And by the way, roofing, big part of their business. Tile, shingle, metal flat, they do it all. They've got a lot of different parts of this company, and they are really good at what they do. And I want to let you know they do it all for you. They'll take care of all the permits and HOA approval, so you don't have to worry about that. It really is a true turnkey service for you. Hey, man, you're ready to protect your home? You can do it Loctite. They'll take care of it for you, man, like nobody's business. Quality people, quality products, and great service is what it's all about with the best people. Call now, 954-500-LOCK, 954-500-LOCK. Again, let Loctite, Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing take care of you. They're waiting by the phone, waiting for that call to come out and give you great prices and great service today.